The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Now, David, good morning and welcome to The Heat Doctor. I hope you're keeping well. Lots of queries and some holding over from last month because we had huge response to you last month. Couldn't get to them all. So I'm going to go straight, dive straight through into them. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. The first queries we have, Heat Doctor, white mould present on wooden windows and wooden floors in the door in my dad's house. He's constantly sniffling, and as soon as I enter the house, I am sniffling too. It's a small house, no porch, no hall, so heat escapes easily. Is it best to upgrade from wood to PVC to prevent this? Any other suggestions?
Good morning, Teresa, and good morning to all the listeners. I suppose straight off with that question, Teresa, is if someone is sniffling continuously in a house, or if there's an issue with mould, then I would suggest strongly there's a problem with ventilation. Now, I know you mentioned earlier, or the listener mentioned, that the heat escapes easily. So there could be a combination of solutions for this house. And I suppose starting at the start here, it's fantastic news from our minister with increased grant amounts, which we can go through later on.
Oh,
but
yes.
I suppose the best thing about this is that if they are considering the windows and doors, from the 2nd of March, there is grants available for windows and doors to be changed in a house. Now, obviously, if the heat is escaping easily in that house, then I would suggest maybe for consideration, a full evaluation on the walls, the attic, along with the windows and doors and possibly the heating system. But for now, my biggest thing I would suggest is that the mould has been caused by ventilation and dew point, where the timber frame meets the inside and outside meeting together. Now, as I said, if there's some sniffling going on, or if there's unhealthy living within that, then, you know, it's something to probably deal with sooner rather than later, Trasa, because we don't want anyone running into health issues because of situations in houses. So, yeah, I think if they could consider the windows and doors to be changed, have a look at the SEI website for all the information. But as of from the 2nd of March, there is grants coming for windows and doors.
And we'll go to that earlier. It's been announced last week to great fanfare. But also maybe that person, if those snifflings are continuing, and their father too, that to go to the doctor as well to get it checked out if it's going on continuously. Now, caller says she gets a lot of air locking in her radiators and has to bleed them every second day. What's causing all this?
So if you've got airlocks in systems, and especially with radiators, excluding underfloor systems, then, you know, I would suggest there's a breakdown in a component somewhere. Or if it's within the radiators, like that caller is suggesting, then there could possibly be a leak. If it's piped underground, sometimes we don't see these leaks and they can occur. And if it's a constant situation and they're topping up the system and there's air leaks within it, then I would suggest they contact a plumber as soon as possible and get a check done on the overall system, but even a pressure check on the pipe work to the radiators to make sure that there is no leaks. But that would be the starting point. It shouldn't be a situation that you're continuously bleeding air from radiators. It does strongly suggest a fault within the system. So unfortunately for them, the start point would be getting a professional in there and making sure that there's no leaks.
A caller says she has PVC windows and doors front and back. Every morning there's lots of condensation in the inside. Even if she boils her kettle, the windows fog up and there's mould on some of the walls. What should be her first steps when getting to sort this out? Who should she contact?
Good morning to that listener. I suppose, again, it's like the question previously, Trace, I'm going to strongly suggest that there's a ventilation issue within that house. We always see it with mould on the inside of windows, or if windows are steaming up or condensation, then it can quite possibly be the biggest issue is ventilation. Now, combined with ventilation, there could be a situation where that house could be insulated to a higher standard, or again, like the previous question with windows and doors, of which there's grants going for. So it does suggest there's something incorrect within the house. So if there was insulation carried out, or if the walls were insulated, that there's not sufficient ventilation. But it's definitely something that can be easily remedied by retrofitting vents to the walls, a mechanical ventilation system, for example, or if you're going to avail of the window and doors change and the window door grant, there can be vents installed within the windows. So yeah, ventilation is my strongest suggestion for that listener.
And we'll talk about those grants after the break. But we want to get through a few because we have so many. A testament to your popularity, David. Lisa wants to know, can I ask the heat doctor, please, what are the best electric heaters to heat a room in the attic? It is fully insulated.
Yes, if it's heating a room in the attic, then there's a lot of heaters available out there. What are the best ones? You know, I'm not going to get into a market-driven situation where I'm recommending the best ones, but what I would suggest is giving the size of that room to the wholesaler and Boyles in Killorglin, bring the size of the room, and they'd be able to suggest the best electric heater for you. But I know there's a lot of different models and makes, but my tips would be that if you have the size of the room, you're going to have the correct size heater. It's not going to be undersized or oversized, and it will work economically. Secondly, try and insist that it is thermostatically or indeed time controlled. If either of those elements are available with the heater, then once it heats the space, it will turn itself off again, working more efficiently. And I suppose lastly there, if it's an extra room in an attic space, is there a situation where the existing heating system could be slightly adapted to possibly install a radiator there? It's just something to consider. But look, there's a lot of makes and models out there, and I know that in Boyles and Killorglin, they have the leading brands that would be more than happy to give you the best advice on. But please measure the room and bring the measurements with you.
And finally, for now, before we go to break, Tom asks, David, I'm currently considering upgrading my wall and attic insulation. One, as my attic is floored, it cannot take any more insulation. I'm wondering whether spray foam, 8-inch spray foam with 6-inch foam plus 2-inch card, or wool fibre insulation between the rafters is best, bearing in mind I do have solar panels fitted. Two, of the two types of insulation mentioned over time, can either damage the wood rafters? And finally, three, are there many insulation companies in Kerry who do spray foam insulation for attics? Many thanks, says Tom.
Good morning, Tom, and thanks for the question. So, spray foam is a fantastic solution to, as mentioned by Tom, where the attic space itself is floored or has a lot of insulation underneath the floor and doesn't have the capabilities of having that increased. Spray foam can be the option. There is obviously an option of raising up the floor and putting more insulation in there, but I suppose that's a separate situation. Part two of that, I suppose, is can it damage the wood rafters? So, the products that are used are NSAI registered, and obviously there's grants available through the SEAI. So the most stringent conditions are put on the application of this product. And I suppose the part three, who would I recommend, is our spray foam companies in Kerry. So we work hand in hand with Coulter Insulation from Listowel. Kevin and myself have done a lot of work together over the years, and he would definitely have a rep available that would come out and assess the house and give the best solution along with a costing and tie in the grants if possible for Tom. So look, yeah, that's my strongest suggestion, and it would be a good solution to the attic space.
We'll get to more of your questions for David. Plus, David will talk us through these new grants for doors and windows announced last week.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglin, the home of quality.
Now, David, a listener says, I rent a very small one-bedroom house in a rural area. It's heated by oil radiators, which you can switch off or on with a flash 31031, a single programmer clock for central heating. The house isn't insulated. Is there any equipment that would allow us to set a temperature for each room and leave the switch on, but it won't stay burning all day or night, just keep a steady temperature? At the moment, we have to turn on the heating, wait till it gets too hot, then turn it off. Wait till it gets too cold and then turn it on again. The house isn't insulated, and it's so we are turning on and off the heating all day. And bear in mind, this person is renting their house.
So there is some different elements to that question, I suppose, to answer. Firstly, to individually control rooms, there's a couple of possibilities of doing that. And I know they mentioned it's an oil-fired heating system with radiators. So there is thermostatic radiator valves, which could be fitted to the radiators, retrofitted to the radiators quite simply. Then what could happen is setting each one of those at the required temperature. Obviously, with smaller rooms, it might be down lower. With bigger rooms and bedrooms, it's different. But that will be a very, very simple way of controlling the individual radiators within the house. After that, you're going to, I suppose, a very much in-depth process of trying to individually control with thermostats, and EPH Ember offer fantastic solutions for that, which again is available through Boyles in Killorglin. But for that homeowner, I'm going to suggest they're renting, they need to talk to their landlord, and I mightn't be everyone's friend here, but I think even in rental situations, we all have the right to have a comfortable living and comfortable house. So I suppose...
Yes.
if the house is not insulated, then there's fantastic incentives as of now through the SEI for that house to get insulated, and furthermore then to have a possible heating control upgrade, window and door upgrade. So, you know, maybe perhaps for that tenant, getting all that information together and bringing it to the landlord and off and asking for a solution that way, that might be the most straightforward way to do this. But again, there is single thermostat controls available. But again, I'm going to revert back to saying have a chat with the landlord here on this one.
Yeah, because I mean, you have to go out to that person, the people living in that house. I mean, having to wait till the house gets too hot and then you have to turn it off and then you can't use the heating system until it gets too cold. Oh my God, my heart goes out to them. Desperate situation.
I agree 100%, Tressa. And I suppose, like I said, we all have a right to live in comfort. I know,
yes,
housing shortage,
absolutely,
rental shortage. I mean, we're not going to get into that. But I suppose because of all the SEI incentives, because of the little cost that could be involved for making this a lot more comfortable, that's why I think if this tenant got all that information and provided that information to their landlord with the incentive to do it, I think it would be a no-brainer from my perspective. But as I said, look, we're not going to get in trouble here between landlords and tenants, but I just think it's the strongest suggestion I can give that person.
Now, 40 years ago, our caller built an extension onto his home. A solid fuel range was installed at that time. After 25 years, the range was replaced with an oil stove, and at the same time, a reflexible liner was put into the chimney. He's now replacing the oil stove with a solid fuel range again. His question is for you, David. Does the liner in the chimney have to be replaced as well? And are there different liners for different types of heat?
So I'm going to suggest that, yes, the liner should be replaced. I mean, even just for the timelines between the, it will be best practice. And again, I suppose there for that one, Tressa, it's getting the right information before you start and making sure that you have all the measurements, etc., for the room, the amount of, if it's a back boiler system, amount of radiators, there's going to be heating, etc. But I suppose it's just best practice and best solution would be to replace the liner along with an install of any stove that's, or sorry, any wood burning or solid fuel stove that's being installed. So yes, and then for different types, then the answer to that is the manufacturer for the stove that's being installed or the type of stove that's being installed is going to have its best recommended. But again, if you're going to go to Boyles in Killarden and bring them all this information, they give you the best solution with the best liner that could be installed. But, you know, making sure as well that it's being installed by a qualified professional, that's key here, because we want to make sure that there's no issues within the house afterwards. And I suppose lastly, with any of the oil stoves or solid fuel stoves or ranges or anything else of that are in houses, ventilation, Tressa, is mandatory. It's a regulation. So making sure that the correct ventilation is within that room space as well.
Now, David, will you talk us through and your reaction and your views on the announcement made last week by the government that new grants of up to €4,000 to upgrade windows and doors, they'll be made available from March 3rd.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic news from our perspective. Personally, I think it's a fantastic thing that's happened. And I think I've been harping on about this for a couple of years, that, you know, maybe it was the wake-up call that was needed. But I think, you know, people, and we've had so many questions over the years, Tressa, of single-measure grants for windows and doors, and we've disappointed homeowners by saying there isn't single-measure grants, that they would have to go through a one-stop shop and carry out a full house upgrade. So I suppose from here, from the 2nd of March onwards, homeowners will be able to avail of the grants for windows and doors. Now, there's a caveat with that, which is good note, that saying if anyone has... since the announcement on the 27th of January, if people have placed orders for windows and doors since the announcement, they will be eligible to apply for the grant support. So that's another good thing in there as well. But I guess the biggest thing here is an existing BER, and if your house is up to a certain standard within the BER ratings and through the application process, which will be launched, then the single measures are available for window and door upgrades. I'm sure it's good news to a lot of people, because this will definitely help with the overall costs of a full retrofit upgrade to your house. So, you know, it's definitely something that I think on the 3rd of March we'll be waking up to see what the overall application process is. But again, a lot of the standards that are there from previous grant applications, you must have your MPRN number, the house must be occupied prior to 2011. It's available to homeowners, companies, charities, holiday homeowners, approved housing bodies, landlords, and again that goes back to the previous question from one of our listeners, that is available to landlords. So, you know, it's a fantastic thing. If you haven't, a BER, a pre-BER assessment is the easiest way to find out if your house is suitable for the window and door upgrade. And again, I suppose, Tracy, here, you know, it's what I always say is if you're thinking of one, then there's a possibility here that you should think about maybe upgrading your wall, attics, and indeed your heating system. And even on that front as well, Tracy, the heat pump grant is moving up to €12,500, which is fantastic news, along with the windows and doors.
And just to this new SEA grant, just to repeat this, is it a standalone grant? A listener wants to know. Others are saying you also need to install a heat pump in order to qualify. Could you just clarify that again, please, David, if possible?
Yes. Yeah, so all that information is available through SEI.ie. And if you go onto the SEI webpage, it gives all the criteria for applying and for what you can qualify for. But to my understanding, there is a standalone grant available for windows and doors, provided that the overall fabric of the house meets a minimum standard through the BER scale. So there is a situation. It is available on its own, but I guess for a lot of houses, it may require the pumping of the walls or the insulating of the attic, to make an example, to get you up to a certain level that qualifies you for the window and door grant. So where the misconception there is, I think, Tracy, is through the one-stop shops, when the window and door grant is available, then you must carry out further upgrades to the house as well. It wasn't on a standalone process, whereas this one is. So I think, you know, fantastic news. But as I said, if you're going to avail of it, then a whole house evaluation might be a good idea at the time. And, you know, if you're changing windows and doors, you're affecting the outside of the house. They can be retrofitted quite smartly. But even to consider external insulation, because that's another thing that has come true as well, is that if you had availed of a cavity insulation grant in the past, to my understanding, again, there is now a situation where you can apply now for a secondary wall insulation grant, so external or dry lining. Yeah. Maybe the solution to a lot of houses.
Well, we'll be talking more about this next month on the first Friday of the month. David, always good to talk to you. David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions in Glenbeigh. Keep well. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you at the start of March.